Fake news. Snopes. But who's really the dopes? Pizza Podesta and Roman Polanski. Ritual sacrifice by the Illuminati. What's the fake news of Anthony Bourdain and the satanic masks of Kate Spade? The truth will stand and outlast. So let's get into today's podcast.
Hi, everyone. This is Isaac, and you're listening to the Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture podcast. Today, we're going to talk about Anthony Bourdain. We're going to talk about the suicides in Hollywood. What is going on? Nothing normal, I can tell you that much. We're going to talk a little bit about Kate Spade, but we're going to mostly focus on Anthony Bourdain and some ideas that I have about that. First, I want to talk to you about a recent exhibit of art I'm doing on my Instagram feed at Isaac Weishaupt. Go check it out. Go follow me on the Instagram. The piece that I call Stereotyping People in Cars. Yes, it's a wonderful, wonderful rendition that I've done on pink post-it notes of people in cars and the stereotypical person driving them. You'll see what I'm talking about. Go check it out. People are loving it. They love it. They think it's the greatest, the best art they've ever seen. I do want you to, in fact, follow me on Instagram because I need more followers. I need to feel better about myself. And the reason I'm talking about that right now is because that leads us into the topic at the moment here, suicides. There has been a CDC study that, long story short, suicides since 1999 have increased dramatically, which I find very curious. If you consider the overall general political correctness and inclusion of people since 1999. I mean, I remember growing up in the 90s. We were definitely not PC back then at all. I mean, we were using a lot of hateful terms and words back then and being inconsiderate of different cultures, genders, sexual preferences, all that stuff. So one would think there would be less suicides in recent history, but that doesn't seem to be the case. Why would suicides be increasing? I think it has, at least one large component of this has to do with social media. I think social media is supposed to connect us, at least that's how it's packaged and sold, to connect us with one another, but it's having an adverse effect. And to me, and that's for reasons that are obvious. I don't need to go into them, but like, you know, people feel bad about their lives because they see other people living out these supposedly more glamorous lives, but that's not always the case. You know, it could be a few things. It could be some people are insecure about themselves, so they're making themselves look good on their news feed or whatever. Or maybe they're just excited about doing things and maybe they do have a better life than you. Let's face that. Maybe they do. Who cares? They're not you. You're not them. Live your life, right? But honestly, the social media thing, it bugs me because it's supposed to be connecting us because that's what they're pitching, the glories of man's technology. Not to sound like the Unabomber, but I think that technology is actually separating us more so than ever before. I think that it's a tool that they want us to subscribe to because you got to think big picture, right? Big picture is we're all going to be robots in the digital matrix real soon. real soon, folks. We're talking 16 years, 17 years. They're going to try to plunk us into the Matrix. It's coming. Now, they want the social media stuff to work. Look at Mark Zuckerberg. That guy's a robot for sure. Undeniable. He's an android. He's so zinged out on something, he might as well be a robot. If you've never seen his video where he's being interviewed and he starts sweating, so he takes his jacket off and has the Illuminati sigil on the inside of the jacket. Watch that. Dude's so weird. There's something wrong with that guy. But the truth is, the social media stuff is a conditioning product that they're going to use to ultimately put us in the Matrix. They're first grabbing data in order to study us and study how the mind works, which is very Westworld-y. If you're watching Westworld, you'll understand that. They're collecting the data to understand how we tick, because the mind is the final frontier of science. That is something that the scientists are having a hard time understanding. They need to understand how we tick because they want to believe so bad in this sort of like reductionist material sense that we can be duplicated as robots. And they're trying to entice us and lead us down that path through sex dolls and Facebook, basically. So anyways, that's off the beaten path, but the suicides have been going up, okay? It's a thing. Now, Anthony Bourdain. It saddened me to see that he committed suicide. I enjoyed his TV shows on the Communist News Network. And look, I'm not a conservative guy. I'm not a liberal guy either. I'm very much unaffiliated with politics, but I lean more liberal than I do conservative. I say that often, but I don't know if you've listened to my show before or not. This might be your first time. And the reason I have to preface that is because, sadly, in today's age, the conspiracy theory folks have been aligned with the alt-right. And that is 100% not me. I think that they do a huge disservice to actual serious thought on conspiracy when they jump right into conclusions that aren't necessarily true. They sort of give the mainstream media a tool to use to make us all look bad. So if they could stop making clickbaity articles, that would be awesome. And we could start actually having a real conversation about what's going on. Because everything's so hyperbolized today that there's just no chance of having that conversation. Okay. So anyways, and that is the first sort of subtopic of Anthony Bourdain. If you go to the conspiracy realm, you'll find that websites like Neon Nettle and Your News Wire are promoting these stories about how Clinton operatives killed Anthony Bourdain. Now, if you go to Snopes, which we'll talk about here in a second, they are claiming they're already shutting that down. They're saying that that's fake news and it's simply not true. Well, you know, on some levels, I do agree that these are kind of fake news stories. Let me back up. The mainstream media, they're great at making these same headlines to make people click. And then when you get down into the meat of the article, you're kind of like, well, that's not necessarily what was going on. I mean, BuzzFeed's great at that, but that's not fake news, right? Yeah, so the fake news idea is being promoted by Snopes. And you know, the basis for Neon Nettle and Your Newswire's articles on this subject, the basis is 100% true. They jump to the conclusion when they say that Clinton operatives killed Bourdain because they don't know that, right? if they would do a better job at saying, look, this is a commentary or a hypothesis, then maybe there would be less blowback from this. Because right now they post an article, Snopes and everyone else says, oh my God, fake news. And then people don't even consider it. And they just go with the official narrative, which is just as much bullshit as the next thing. Because, like, Snopes is full of shit, too, in my opinion. I used to think that they were the end-all be-all of fact-checking. It's not. It's like a staff of 13 people that just search the internet. And, I mean, to me, that's fallible, okay? They don't do any hard research. I mean, maybe they do a little bit of hard research, but it's basically just people trying to find the consensus through mainstream media, which I get that, like, sometimes that's the best you go with, you know? You can't sit here and say everything on the news is fake, because sometimes it's real. Most of the time it's real. Science is real. But it's very obvious that they have this intention of shutting down the fake news thing, because, you know, I stopped believing in Snopes back when the Pizzagate thing happened, because, you know, my stance on the Pizzagate thing is that these leaked emails were indeed alluding to something very, very strange. And Snopes immediately shut it down and said, oh my God, this is like these insane people. They think there's this underground pedo satanic ring and it's so fake. But I mean, and maybe so, that sounds very extreme, but why are there letters and emails where they're talking about pizza maps on the handkerchief? Why are they talking about 30,000 hot dogs in the hot tub or whatever? There was a lot of weird stuff going on in these emails that made absolutely no sense. It was obviously coding for something. What was that something? Now, could it be an underground pedo ring? Absolutely, that happens, right? We're finding that more and more. And a lot of people on the conservative side think Trump is the guy that's going to shut it all down. When he talks about draining the swamp, they think that he is going to get rid of these pedo rings. Remains to be seen. I'm not holding my breath. But, I mean, maybe. I don't know. What do I know, right? They certainly have an issue with Donald Trump. And I get it, because I don't like Donald Trump either. But, maybe, right? So these fake news stories are claiming Bourdain was going to, you know, expose another pedo ring, which they say about every celebrity that dies. Now, I don't know that I see enough evidence to support that specifically, but I did see enough stuff that made me think, well, maybe, okay? And I'm going to go through that here now. Because they're basing it off the idea that Bourdain was criticizing Harvey Weinstein. Harvey Weinstein, of course, is the, you know, film producer guy that was alleged to have been raping and assaulting women in various news outlets. And I've talked about that in the past as well. You can find that on, well, hell, I don't think it's on my YouTube anymore. I think they blocked that. anyways, you know the story, Weinstein. But the Anthony Bourdain was very outspoken about Weinstein. That's true. That's a fact. And he did it because his girlfriend was Asia Argento. She was an actress, or is an actress, and she was part of that Me Too movement. Because she was interviewed by Ronan Farrow for an October 2017 New Yorker article about Weinstein and all of the sexual misconducts. And, you know, it claimed that there was like 13 women he assaulted and raped a few of them. And that was kind of what broke the whole Weinstein thing. Because I guess for years they knew about this in behind closed doors. They knew that this was a thing. And side note, if you read about it, Ronan Farrow, the journalist, he claimed that NBC was under pressure to not release the story. So they didn't. And NBC later denied that. So, Ronan's also, by the way, the son of Mia Farrow and Woody Allen. Both have their curious links to interesting things. Like Mia Farrow is in Rosemary's Baby, of course. And Woody Allen was, banging his 10-year-old daughter or whatever it was he was doing. He did something improper. Okay. And then obviously, like, Mia Farrow, she was in Rosemary's Baby, directed by Roman Polanski. Polanski was messing around with some young girl that was, I think, like 13 in the hot tub at her at his house. I don't know, weird stuff. And again, I'll put allegedly in front of all that because I don't know that any of that's been proven in a court of law of some kind. Well, no, I take that back. Polanski was supposed to, he's in exile. He's supposed to come back to America and face his jail sentence. But instead, he's hiding out in Switzerland getting Oscars for movies and stuff. Because, you know, Hollywood, they're good at, you know, pointing out the injustices of what's going on in America, but they're the worst ones of the bunch, you know? Anyways, Asia Argento, she was is an actress, and she was allegedly assaulted by Weinstein, and in fact, there was a film, I saw the clip, there was a film that she was in, I'm trying to find the name of it. Oh my. There was a film, and she was in the film, and she was with an actor. Damn it, I am so sorry. I thought I had it on me. Anyway, she was in a film that was with Joe Coleman. Joe Coleman is an artist known for very, very dark and strange artwork. Sort of in the macabre horror genre. But he was in this film with Argento. It was called Scarlet Diva. And anyways, she confirmed that he, you know, has these sexual advances towards her, kind of like assault-ish. And she confirmed that was indeed Weinstein. That was a depiction of what she went through with Joe Coleman, the artist, who you'll see a lot of his stuff. He's buddies with Dave Navarro. If you recall, at one time I was friends with Dave Navarro. Remember that? Remember how cool that was for a short period of time? No, but I was. If you recall, I was on that Dark Matter show with him for a minute, okay? Thus, 6 degrees of separation between me and Anthony Bourdain is what I'm trying to get at here. No, I'm just kidding. I'm stalling because I'm trying to find my place here. It's a tangled web, and I've got notes scrawled all over the place here, like a true madman. Okay, so Argento was part of the Me Too movement with support from Anthony Bourdain. He was very vocal about it on his Twitter feed and so on. And her father, another side note, her father, he is Dario Argento, and he is a horror filmmaker, or director. And I was reading about him on Wikipedia because I'm not familiar with his works. I used to be into horror films pretty heavy, but I don't like the way they make me feel anymore. Because since like Hostel and the Saw movies, that's when I started to really kind of like think twice about the art that I was consuming. But he was apparently supposed to do a film with the Italian director Lucio Fulci. Fulci? Anyways, I'm a fan of his works. He had like these really cool 70s movies about like zombies and The House by the Cemetery, and they're really creepy. I mean, they're pretty gory, but like it was back before the gore looked real. So like to me, I'm okay with that. But anyways, that's her dad. Okay. And I'm going to get into in a minute some of the Instagram photos that these two, Bourdain and Argento, have had that suggest that there's some darkness involved with their relationship, okay? Now, fast forward to Bourdain's death, and they're saying that he died from in France from he hung himself. And we're gonna talk about that in a second too. But they said that he hung himself. And if you look at Asia Argento's Instagram story that was posted 3 hours before Bourdain's death was reported, there was a photo of her wearing a T-shirt that said "Fuck everyone, you know who you are." And that was the caption. You know who you are is the caption on the Instagram story. And I've got images for all of this stuff that I'm going to post on IlluminatiWatcher.com. So if you head there quickly, you can find it. I'll post all these images for the show of Anthony Bourdain and Asia Argento and all of these strange things that have been happening. Now here's where we can connect Bourdain with Clinton, because Weinstein was apparently a buddy to Clinton's and was a big donor. And Bourdain had a beef with Weinstein. Thus, you could see that maybe there was a financial interest for the Clintons and Bourdain to have a beef. But Bourdain was, from what I gather, seemed like a pretty liberal guy. Like, he, you know, didn't love Trump. But he seemed to have a problem with Hillary Clinton. And the reason I say that, because I actually fact-checked this thing. Because the supposed fake news websites, they were talking about how he was tweeting about how Clinton's operatives were after him and all this stuff. So I thought, you know, I'm going to scroll through Bourdain's feed. And I did. I went all the way back to October 11th, 2017. And I'm going to read you the sequence of tweets. These happened all within one day. The timestamp just says October 11th. He says, I will vote for a ham sandwich before I ever vote for Cy Vance. And I have to say, Hillary's interview with Fareed Zakaria was shameful in its deflection and its disingenuousness. Know what Hillary Clinton is not? She's not stupid or unsophisticated about the world. The Weinstein stories had been out there for years. Mindless Hillary hate aside, this was a terrible response to questions about a friend, quote-unquote, who's been tormenting women for decades. I have met Hillary Clinton. I liked her. I admired much about her. This interview was a real disappointment. And please, this is not about blame or equivalency. My feelings about Mr. Trump are well known. No one should take satisfaction from this. Hillary is clearly not responsible for anything Weinstein. That's screamingly obvious. Her response to questions, though, has been uninspiring. I can assure you that the victims of Mr. Weinstein's 3 decades of predatory behavior are disappointed, too. I'm sitting next to one. He's referring to Asia Argento, right? Secretary Clinton was one of the most intelligent, well-prepared, and briefed politicians ever, so yes, I'd hoped for a better response. And having just gone through thousands of threats from Pepe the Frog and Russian trolls, it's only fair to now get it from the other side. At least, when the left is angry with me on Twitter, they can spell. The Weinstein story is deeply personal to me and far, far, far more personal and painful to people I love and people I care about. So, I mean, that's the sequence of about 12 tweets, okay? I mean, this is back when you had to limit your characters, I recall. But you can see that the language he's using is, he talks about Hillary Clinton in the past tense. When, like he says, I liked her. I admired much about her. She was one of the most intelligent, well-prepared, and brief politicians ever. So yes, I'd hoped for a better response. So you can see here that he is not painting her in a good light. So, did the Clintons kill her? Kill Anthony Bourdain? We don't know that. We can't say that. We have no idea, right? Or do we? If you look at, there's another tweet of interest, okay? It happened on May 2nd, 2018. And you won't find it on Bourdain's tweet feed. You'll find it on his tweets and replies feed, because he's replying to Jeff Holm and Tallest Stone, and I don't know who those people are. I think they're maybe a couple of nobodies. I'm sorry if you two are listening to this. I don't know. I don't recognize their names, but they're he's apparently talking to them about this, and he says ... And I am in no way an HRC fan, referring to Hillary Rodham Clinton.
I've been on the receiving end of her operative's wrath, and it ain't fun. Now, and if you read the thread, if you find the thread, you'll see that they're just kind of going back and forth on, you know, Trump, Clinton, whatever, whatever. But it's curious because it does feed into the long ongoing conspiracy that there are Clinton assassins out there when he says he was on the receiving end of her operative's wrath. That's very strange. Is it not strange? I'm not saying let's jump to the conclusion that the Clintons have assassins out there and are taking Anthony Bourdain out because Bourdain is against Harvey Weinstein. I don't know that I jumped to that conclusion in my mind, but it is a possibility. And I think Snopes and all these other websites that are shouting down the fake news websites are, they're trying to shut down the narrative of a conspiracy because it doesn't fit into the mold of what they want the people to understand or know. And that's what I have a problem with. And that's what I talked about when I said they're going to come after the First Amendment, because they want to make the conspiracy community and their message so distasteful. They want to paint a bad picture of it that we sort of ban it eventually. I think that's where they're going with it. And obviously we need free speech and free thought. I mean, if people want to believe there were Clinton assassins, I mean, you're allowed to believe that. I don't know that that's exactly what's happening here, but I mean, they're putting together the argument that that's what's happening, and you can't deny that it's possible. Okay. That's all I'm going to say about it. So let's go into some of the symbolism of Anthony Bourdain. A long time ago, I posted an image that I took from watching an episode. I think he was in Jamaica or something. And there was, you could see on his forearm very clearly, there was an 8-pointed star. And that is the Star of Chaos, the 8 wands that we see from Aleister Crowley. It's also referred to as the Star of Semiramis sometimes. But it was very curious that we saw the Chaos Star tattoo. Now, to be fair, I re-researched it upon the heels of his death, and there is a claim that it was actually a tattoo he got while at South by Southwest of a sun. So maybe, I mean, I look at it and I could see either one. You could see the 8-pointed Chaos Magic Star, or you could see the sun. I mean, which one is it? I don't know. Another curiosity is that he worked for CNN, which supposedly Anderson Cooper was a CIA operative at one time. So there's this idea that he was part of their big psyop. Again, I don't know there's enough evidence to go on to jump to conclusions from that, but it did come up in my research is all I'm going to say. I looked in all the dark recesses of the internet, and these are the most sort of factual things that I could throw out at you to sort of see what it is that's going on. Now, I also listened to the Boiler Room podcast. My buddy Jay Dyer was on there. Jay Dyer is a guest on the show a couple times. I've been on his show a couple times as well. And he talked about this strange thing with people hanging themselves. And I agree. I think it's very, very odd that all these celebrities decide they want to commit suicide, and they do it in one of the most horrific ways possible. I mean, I obviously don't know what they're going through in their heads, but like to me, it seems like there's a lot easier ways to do that than through hanging. I mean, but we've got Anthony Bourdain, Robin Williams, Michael Hutchins. I mean, this is we're going back in the, you know, NXS Michael Hutchins, which I talked about earlier on a podcast with Peaches Geldof and her connections to all this, the magical order of the OTO and all that stuff. And Michael Hutchins was supposedly, wasn't suicide, it was accidental death through autoerotic asphyxiation. At least that's what some of the theories were when he first died. Same with David Carradine, who Jay asserts that Carradine's father was actually a Thelemite on some levels. He was a follower of Crowley, I guess. Chris Cornell supposedly hung himself. Chester Bennington. And even Kate Spade, who they're saying she was hanging by a red scarf. And if you look at her death, Liz Crokin, she's a journalist that definitely wants to make America great again, but she claims that she's a follower of this QAnon, which could be a whole show in and of itself. I don't follow QAnon exactly. I'm familiar with who this entity is. But QAnon seems to think that Trump is indeed shutting down the pedo rings. And if this happens, I'll be the first to admit I was wrong. But like, I have a hard time believing that. I mean, Trump was on the Epstein Lolita Express right alongside Billy Clinton. So I have a hard time believing that he is the outsider that they want to paint him as. But maybe, hey, you know, we'll see what happens. But Liz Crokin points to a bunch of pictures of Kate's husband, Andy Spade, who is, yes, indeed, the brother of David Spade, the comedian. And there's a lot of pictures of Andy Spade with pizza, which is allegedly the symbol for Pizzagate and the pedo rings of Pizzagate. But it was curious that her husband, right after she died, he went out in public wearing an animal mask. And it's extremely weird. I mean, I guess he was looking for privacy, but like, don't you think that draws a little bit of attention to go out in public with the mask of a mouse on? Seems very strange. It also reminds me of the Satanist Devil's Mask documentary where Anton LaVey's Church of Satan, they were doing a bunch of rituals and they were wearing the animal masks. Because you see oftentimes in Satanism, they emulate the anthropomorphic characters, and I believe that's because they are trying to reiterate the idea from the LaVeyan Ten Commandments or whatever. I think it's the nine satanic commandments, that man is just an animal. So yeah, there was some weird stuff going on with Kate Spade as well, but there wasn't nearly as much as there is with Anthony Bourdain. And, you know, if indeed Bourdain comes out to be supposedly, if they claim that he died from autoerotic asphyxiation, then that puts him right in the camp with Michael Hutchins and David Carradine. But all these celebrities were supposed to believe that they're just hanging themselves to commit suicide, which I find very, very strange. And you know what else I find strange? The pictures on the Instagram feeds for Asia Argento. And again, I'm going to post these on IlluminatiWatcher.com. So check them out for yourself. But I combed through a lot of her Instagram feed, and I see a lot of things that we've talked about many times in the past when we talk about Illuminati symbolism. There are lots of images of the all-seeing eye. Very clearly, she's doing the all-seeing eye. She does the V of Nodens over the eye, kind of like Katy Perry did at one point. She's got one where she's in the Baphomet pose, and the caption she wrote says, "As above, so below." She's also seen with Marilyn Manson, and Marilyn Manson, his tattoo on his hand, which I posted on, I think it was Twitter, on my Twitter feed, at Illuminati Eyes. At Illuminati Eyes. Because Illuminati Watcher was too long to take on Twitter. Anyways, you can see on his hand, he's got the tattoo of a sigil of Lucifer. Very clearly on this image as well that she posted. She also posted an image with the Orson Welles star on the Hollywood, you know, Walk of Fame or whatever. She has an image with a streak of light crossing her all-seeing eye. And again, there's several all-seeing eye images. And what was curious is that there's one image where she's standing in front of a Sid Vicious poster. And Sid Vicious, he was the guy from the Sex Pistols that, you know, his wife died, Nancy, and supposedly he stabbed her to death. He said he didn't remember it, but apparently there was, I don't know, there's some ideas that he did in fact kill her. And then later he died from a drug overdose. So, like, I mean, you want to talk about domestic abuse and stuff. It's like, why are you celebrating Sid Vicious if we're going to stand up for women's rights? Maybe we should stand up against domestic violence too. I don't know. What do you think about that? I don't think women should be stabbed by their spouses. Then we see, of course, I've got a screenshot of that last, the day Anthony Bourdain died, she wore the fuck everyone, you know who you are shirt. And it has indeed a picture of what looks like Sid Vicious on it. Now, if I go through Anthony Bourdain's feed, I see he has a tattoo of the skull, which is shared by Johnny Depp. Because Johnny Depp has a lot of tattoos in common with Marilyn Manson and Damien Eccles, you know, Satanist and Crowley advocates. Damien Eccles from the West Memphis 3, if you recall. He also had, and here was an image he had of, what's his name? The guy Johnny Depp portrayed in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. It's coming to me. Hunter S. Thompson. And he's got a picture of him, you know, just saying that he's cool or whatever. But what I also saw was that he had a picture, Bourdain did, of himself with his face covered in what looks like blood. And it says, Scottish Highlands Stalking. Now, the reason I bring it up is because there are allegations that Hunter S. Thompson was some kind of assassin killer. And again, we're going like kind of deep off the deep end here, but like the theory's out there, and I read it and it had some traction. It wasn't crystal clear, but it was an interesting read. And then Anthony Bourdain had an image of George Orwell, and he wrote, George Orwell knew a few things. Talking about 1984. Then he's got a picture with a skull ring, and of course, again, skull ring with Johnny Depp. I think him and Keith Richards both wear the skull rings. It could be symbolism of the, you know, like the Skull and Bones and the Freemasons. They all have this skull thing, this death obsession. Then there's a picture of him with Joe Coleman, who I mentioned earlier, who, if you look at his artwork, he's very dark, very macabre. And Bourdain also had an image of him, and I think it's Asia Argento, but they're doing the hand sign for the rock diamond, the triangle of manifestation. And then Bourdain's got a bunch of like dark artwork of like people getting their heads cut off and that sort of thing. And again, I'll put them all on Illuminati Watcher so you can take a look for yourself. And to wrap this up, there are some very strange things related to this case. I don't know what happened. I was waiting for more and more evidence to show up before I recorded this because I wanted to walk away with something a bit more conclusive. But I suppose my petition would be to keep your mind open because I don't know what happened here. And it's hard to tell, but there were definite connections with the occult side of things if we consider all of the dark artwork that these two were into. You know, it's sad that we lost Anthony Bourdain. If you liked his shows, I don't know if he was a good person or not. No idea. But I did enjoy his shows, so that's kind of a bummer. But again, I'm not like in his fan club or nothing. So, but I do hope that we find out what exactly happened here. If you see anything that I didn't mention, hit me up on my social medias, Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, it's at Isaac Weishaupt. Twitter, it's at Illuminati Eyes. Facebook, it's Illuminati Watcher or Isaac Weishaupt. I've got both of those set up, and I check them once in a great while. But so you're more apt to get me on Twitter or Instagram. Anyways, thank you for your time. I'm running out of time here. I got to run. I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for the reviews on iTunes. Keep them coming. The reviews on Amazon are just as nice for The Dark Path or any of my other books if you've read those. Audible as well. I've got the Audible self-narrated audiobooks. If you've listened to any of those, I appreciate the reviews you've been leaving there. I think we're well over 100 reviews on Audible for The Dark Path. So thank you very much for that. I appreciate that. And as always, my parting words, be your best for those who deserve your best.